Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
We all know the dangers of junk food, don't we? So if you don't have an appetite for the Word of God, here is my diagnosis. You're taking in too much junk food. There's a spiritual disease. A spiritual disease, something going on in your life. Perhaps you're taking in the wrong stuff.
Welcome to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. How often do you read the Bible? Not a book about the Bible, but the Bible itself. Spending time alone in the Word of God is critically important, but many people struggle. Where do you start? And what do you do when there's a difficult passage? Today, John shares key steps that will help us as we read Scripture on our own. So let's get started. Here's Pastor John Monroe.
Last time we saw that our spiritual life begins with the Word of God. Paul said to Timothy that from a child he had known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make him wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. While we can know much about God from creation, we learn about the way of salvation through Holy Scripture. God has made it clear in His Word that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We're surrounded by deception, lies, half-truths, distortions, and political spin. How refreshing to open our Bibles and know that this is the pure Word of God. May it be your delight every day, the very food for your soul.
I want to say five things about studying the Word of God very quickly this morning. First of all, focus on the text of Scripture. When studying the Bible, focus on the text. First of all, read the Word of God and humbly hear the Word of God. You're at home now and you open your Bible. Do you realize that God speaks to you in His Word? When the Bible speaks, God speaks. Are you listening? Are you focused? Are you concentrating? When I practiced law and someone died, and we brought out the will, and the relatives were there. We always said where there was a will, there was a relative. And so as we got out the will, I never once had to say to the greedy relatives, "Now listen to what Dad said in his will," or "Listen to what Granddad said." No, they're listening. They're listening for their name. You don't have to say to them, "Concentrate." No, they're there. Why? They're expecting something. That's part of our problem, is we don't expect God to speak to us. We don't expect a blessing. We don't expect that promise that we need so desperately for that day. Now, let me say something very, very important. I'm talking about studying the Bible. I'm asking you to focus on the text of Scripture. Devotional Bible study guides, videos, and all of that have their place. I have a huge library, so I'm not against books. I'm not against study guides. But I'm going to say this to you. Nothing can substitute you, the Bible, and the Holy Spirit. Can you not just read the Bible? You say, "Oh, I've got the study guide, fill in the blanks." I mean, who cares about filling in the blanks of the study guide? It has a place, I understand it. But, you know, you can study the study guide. You can read the book about the Bible. You can read what someone says about the Bible. But there is nothing like you, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. That should be one of the most delightful, joyful things that you do on any day. Be a self-feeder. Read the Bible, not just what someone says about it. Read it and reread it and reread it, focused on the text of the Bible. Several times in the Gospels, Jesus says, "Have you not read the Scripture?" Oh, they had read it, but they didn't penetrate. They didn't understand. You say, "John, no, you're a pastor and we actually pay you to study the Bible, and that's what you do up in your office all day, obviously." That's a dream, you know, that I would just have time upstairs to study my Bible all day. It must be great. My life is busy. your life is busy. Now, supposing you can only spend 15 minutes a day. Do you know how many minutes there are in a day? 1,440 minutes, 24 hours. You say, well, I sleep. Yeah, well, you can sleep. Sleep as long as you like. But 15 minutes. Is there anyone here so busy doing God's will, doing God's work, that they don't have time to spend 15 minutes in this book? Don't tell me you're too busy. You're too busy for God. You've got other priorities. You'll think nothing of spending several hours watching a video, watching a game, working out at the gym, whatever it is. No. Quieten yourself. Get into a quiet place and open this book. Start, say, with the book of Philippians. Only has four chapters. You can read it in one sitting, just a few minutes. Don't just read a verse. Read it. You say, what do I do the next day? Read it again. The third day, read it again. The fourth day, read it again. The fifth day, read it again. The sixth day, read it again. And now you're beginning to understand it. Philippians to you is not just taking a verse. Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You're understanding the context in which Paul says that. You're now beginning to understand Philippians. You're getting away from our habit to take some isolated text and make it say anything you want and to ignore the context. Read the Bible in a natural way. Much of the Bible is not difficult to understand. Yes, there are difficult parts, but don't allow what you don't understand to take away what you do understand. Focusing on the text of Scripture, it requires concentration. Listening to preaching takes concentration, but it is essential that you focus when reading and studying the Bible. I ask myself, why is it that some television preachers and other preachers who spend no time in a serious exposition of the Word of God attract thousands of people? You ever ask yourself that? I do. Because they claim that God is speaking directly to them. They say they're going to share their hearts. To me, that's always a little dangerous, isn't it? Sharing my heart. Jeremiah says, your heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. Do you really want to share your heart? I don't know if I want to hear your heart. I want to hear from God. But they say they're sharing their hearts, sharing their vision, sharing their agenda, sharing their dreams, sharing their journey. That requires no study, and there's no way of evaluating what they're saying is true or just a scam to get you to send money to their ministry. Today, we're awash in emotionalism. We're awash in subjectivism. We're awash in people saying, God told me to tell you. If I followed what I have been told over the years of what somebody told God to tell me, I would be going in 1,000 directions. I want to hear from God myself. I don't need you to tell me what God told you to tell me. If it's in the Word of God, give me the Scripture. Focus on Scripture, not your own ideas, not some impression. Something which is absolute truth. It is only God's word which is absolute truth. First, focus on the text. Secondly, write it down. Write some key things you observe from the text. Why is Paul writing? Who's he writing to? What's the theme of Philippians? What are some things that particularly apply to me? What questions do I have? How am I to respond to this that Paul is saying? Does this apply to me? He's telling two women to behave themselves in the church and to stop arguing. Could that apply to any of us? He's telling us not to worry in chapter 4. What am I worrying about? Don't be afraid to underline your Bible. Don't be afraid to write in the margin. Don't be afraid to write a date next to a particular verse which impacted you spiritually. What are you doing when you're writing? You're slowing down the process. You're focusing on what the text of Scripture is saying. You're observing the text. And often, if you don't write it down, as the Spirit of God gives you understanding, you may forget what you've learned. Remember Sherlock Holmes saying to Dr. Watson, You see, but you do not observe. That's many of us, isn't it? We're reading, but we're not observing. Israel was told, remember in Deuteronomy 6, in the great Shema, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and so on. And he tells the fathers and he tells the mothers to write the word of God on the very doorposts of their house and on their gates, so that the word of God would be on their hand, on their foreheads, that wherever they went, whether they got up in the morning, when you go for a walk with your children, you are constantly being reminded of the living and powerful word of God. My mother went into a nursing home, a bit of dementia, some physical problems, and so my brothers and I, very much against my mother's wishes, have said, Mom, you know, you can't stay in your own home. You're falling down and so on. And so the house is being sold. It's very sad. Those of you who have gone through that, it's very difficult, isn't it? And this house has been in our family for many years. And so my brothers were calling me and say, John, is there anything you want? Well, you know, can't take an armchair over the Atlantic. So I said, not really. I said, well, you know, Dad had a few books that Mom has. If you're going to throw them away, I wait till I come and I'd like to see them. But I said, there's a couple of things I do want. My parents had a couple of texts in their bedroom with scenes of the Scottish Highlands and verses of Scripture. Because in that generation, just about all followers of Jesus Christ had texts in their homes. We still see that from time to time now, but perhaps not as much as a previous generation. It was a reminder, wasn't it, that in our homes, the Word of God was to be prominent. We are writing down the Word of God. So first, focus on the text. Secondly, write it down. Third, pray over it. This is a spiritual exercise. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 119, verse 18, the psalmist says, Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. We sang, Open the eyes of my heart. That's Paul's prayer to the Ephesians in Ephesians 1:18. He prays that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, because it's possible I come and I'm not listening and I don't see what God wants me to see. Isn't it wonderful that God helps us to understand His Word? Isn't that a great delight? You're reading your Bible and you've read a verse that you've maybe known all of your life. Or if you're a new follower of Jesus, you're reading it for the first time and that verse just comes alive, doesn't it? And I look and I say, why didn't I see that before? This is magnificent. What's happening? The wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit, illumination, turning on the light. Or I'm convicted. Or I say, oh, I don't know if I like that verse. No, because it's got your name on it, John. This is for you. This is for you. This is how God sees you, and you must change. Or here is a verse when you've had a very difficult and discouraging day, and you open your Bible and there's this glorious promise that points you to Christ, and you realize that I have this God with me and He's never going to leave me, and that Christ never asked me to go where He Himself first has not already gone. And we pray over it and we meditate on it. The psalmist says that, I delight in it. I meditate on your word day and night. We just chew it over. Meditation is like preaching to yourself. So you've read the word, you're focused on it and you're praying on it. And as you're driving or as you're on your treadmill or you're going for a walk or going around your business, this verse is in your mind and you're thinking about it and you're meditating on it. Perhaps you write it down on a 3x5 card to have in your pocket that you can take it out and remind yourself and say, Lord, I want to understand this. I want to claim this promise. Keeping it central in our minds. And that, of course, shoves out, doesn't it, the junk food. Because the more I'm engaged in Scripture, and the more I'm praying about it, and the more I'm understanding it, there is this tremendous cleansing effect going on in my life. So when the garbage comes, the filth of it is exposed against the purity of the Word of God. Pray over it. Fourth, live it. This is a big problem for us, isn't it? Many of us know the Bible. We can answer the question in the adult life group. We can impress people by our Bible knowledge, but we're not living it. It's not just for our head, is it? It's for our hearts. It's for every area of our life. As I said in the statement about Charlotte, isn't this what our city needs? Not just our words, a demonstration of Christ lived out in our lives, so that we're taking the Word of God and we're living it out in our homes, in our marriages, in our families, at work, in the neighborhood, in how we conduct our business, and certainly in the church. And we're living it out. I was officiating at a wedding yesterday, and you know, people love weddings, and I suppose I do as well, but you know, you have to talk about love in a wedding. And you know what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13? Love is, what's the first thing? Patient. I wish he hadn't started with that one. I mean, I would like to rewrite that one, Paul. That's the first one. Kindness, I understand. Love is patient, love is kind. I get the kindness, Paul, but why would you start with patience? That's a struggle for me. But that's what the text says, isn't it? I'm to live that out. If I'm a loving person, I'm to be patient. And so we read the Word of God and we pray it and we say, Lord, I need your help with this one. Because I'm impatient sometimes. I'm impatient with those who are close to me. I get frustrated something. Oh, it's a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. We're to claim the promises. We're to live by faith. One of the greatest joys I have as a pastor, and I think all of you can understand this as well, is when I see the Word of God having an impact on someone. Oh, I love to hear testimonies, but I love to know about lives being changed. Talk is easy, isn't it? That impacts you, doesn't it? When you see Jesus in someone's life. When there's a change in the person's habits. Here is a man who has a very dirty mouth. And he curses and he swears and he tells dirty jokes. But now he's confronted with the Word of God. And he's convicted. And a man who once had a dirty mouth is now a man of praise. And a man of kindness. A man who gives healing. Here is a husband who's very harsh with his wife. He's mean with her. He may even push her around sometimes. And he reads the Word of God. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And he's convicted, and under the power of the Spirit, his life is being changed. Here's a young man who's steeped in pornography. He realizes that this cleansing of his life comes from the Word of God. And he now pursues a path of holiness. Here's a businessman or a businesswoman. All she was concerned about was making money. But now, as a follower of Jesus, reading the Word of God, she or he is now concerned about how they care for their employees. Here is a very selfish individual. It was all about them, and their friends and family know it. Do you know the kind of individual, it's all about me? That includes a lot of us, doesn't it? Selfishness. But here is an individual now starts giving generously to the church and to Christian ministries. Here is an individual who is very prejudiced and who makes comments about those of different races and ethnicities, and now he understands, she understands, that every single one is made in the image of God. And so before, there were harsh comments and overgeneralizations. Now there is kindness. What is happening? They're living out the Word of God. Finally, we must share it. We must share it. As we read the Word of God and it transforms our life, we want to tell others about it, don't we? You know the great joy if you teach. If you teach Sunday school, you teach an adult life group, you lead a Bible study. The joy of sharing the Word of God is incredible, isn't it? Provided it's coming first to yourself. We have to preach and teach to our hearts first and then to others. Parents, you have the great joy, don't you, of teaching your sons and your daughters the living Word of God. What a joy. Not just words on a page, but now lived out in your life, communicating the Word of God to your friends. A word in season. Jesus said, blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. Much could be said. We'll move on. Hearing the Word of God. While rehearsing Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, the musicians responded with particular sensitivity to Toscanini's every wish and desire. And what resulted was a performance that moved the orchestra to a spontaneous ovation. Then they stood and wildly applauded this little man, their conductor, who'd given them such insights into the music. And desperately, Toscanini stood and tried to get them to sit down. And when they finally sat down and the cheering stopped, he said in a broken voice, "It isn't me, it's Beethoven." And when the Word of God speaks to us, we realize this is not the words of John Monroe. This is not the words of any man. This is the voice of God. Do you hear the voice of God? Do we understand how privileged we are to have in our own language this book, the Bible? Most of us have many copies of it that we can take it and open it and say, "Lord, speak to me, for your servant hears." And one of the great, great ways, I think, when we know that the Word of God is getting hold of us, and it's not just in our heads, it's not just to answer an exam, it's not just to impress people, but when the Word of God is lived out in our lives.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the final part of his message on the role of Scripture. But don't go anywhere just yet, because John will return with his closing remarks in just a moment. Well, over the next few weeks, we'll be continuing our in-depth study on next steps in following Jesus. And as a helpful addition to this series, we'd like to send you a special resource. It's a free booklet by John focused on the teaching of Jesus on what it means to follow him. It will walk you through Scripture and provides insightful commentary as you get a fresh perspective on how relevant and practical Jesus' teaching is for our daily lives. The booklet is titled Life in the Kingdom, and it's completely free, just for connecting with us. Request your copy today at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And while you're there, be sure to also sign up for John's monthly email. Now, before we close, let me invite you to play a part in sharing these daily biblical messages. Your generous contributions will help us give the gift of God's Word to new listeners all around the world. And you can partner with us today by visiting our website at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And on our website, you can also learn how to join our Sunday morning worship here at Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, at the corner of Highway 51 and Ray Road. But no matter where you're listening from, you can join us each Sunday through our live stream online. To learn more, visit calvarychurch.com. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with his closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? Are you a diligent student of Scripture? You may be a beginner, but all of us have to begin somewhere. Come to Scripture humbly. Come praying to God to help you to understand. The psalmist prayed, "Teach me your statutes." Ask God to teach you. Day after day after day, you'll be surprised at what God reveals to you if you come with a humble heart. Desire not only to understand God's Word, but to obey it. Next time in this series, The Next Steps in Following Jesus, our subject is loving God.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.